Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, I did today's show with intent because I live in Springfield, Missouri. It's a real small town. I mean, it's bigger than some, but the talent that is coming out of the Springfield Fight Club is tremendous. And one of those young warriors on the rise is truly a dominating warrior in the game. I mean, even if you go back to her amateur career, it's been tremendous. She's on an uphill plight, and she's proven to make a name for herself in the sport and, make a name for the Springfield Fight Club also. With that being said, I have Miranda Maverick on. Miranda, how's it going?
It's going good, Don. How are you?
Oh, I'm freezing. You're here. It's cold.
That's right. Freezing rain all day today on the roads.
Oh, yeah. It's you got to love the Midwest or you don't like the weather.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of been a secret, and it kind of hasn't been a secret for a while now that you signed a six-fight deal with Invicta. What did that mean to you, Miranda, being that you come from such a small community? There's not very many fighters that really get that type of contract offered to them. What did it mean to you personally as a person striving to be the best in the sport?
It definitely meant that they knew I had potential and that I was going to get to the top. I mean, they wanted me, obviously, to not go with anybody else, and so immediately before my four-fight contract was even over, they signed me to another one that would continue after that. And it kind of, I think, was a trust thing, too. And I like that.
Yeah. You know, who wouldn't, actually? But, you know, what is it about the Springfield Fight Club that has truly defined the warrior in Miranda Maverick? I mean, you go back, and I hate to do this, but I'm just doing this to prove a point. You go back to 2016 when you faced Samantha Gillian. You know, it was a lesson that was taught to you that day. But from that day forward, Miranda Maverick hasn't had a loss. She's actually won every fight just by submission. You know, what was it about that fight that you took back to the gym and you truly learned from it?
I mean, I wasn't going to lose again. I wasn't going to let myself do that because I knew I could do better. It wasn't that she was a better fighter. It wasn't that I had just done one thing wrong. It was the whole fight plan was wrong. I let the elevation affect me. Everything in that fight was me just letting my immaturity get a hold of me. And after that, I was like, I'm not going to have that happen again. It's a sickening feeling. It's a terrible feeling. And I wanted to win at this fight stuff. I knew that I wasn't going to turn pro by losing against people who were just amateurs at that point and expect to be world champion. So I kind of changed my attitude and changed how I trained and took it way more serious and went from there.
Now, you look at your career, Miranda, and, you know, you're young. You haven't been in the sport too terribly long. And then you take yourself all the way to Invicta FC 24, and you beat a world-caliber black belt in jiu-jitsu at her own game. What did that moment mean for the career of Miranda Maverick?
To be honest, I was really disappointed in that performance, and I think we've talked about that before. I expected myself to do a lot better, and I was ready to go in there and submit her and knock her out, and I just didn't come forward enough like I needed to. I let my head get the better of me and got a little bit nervous. Because of that reputation she had, I was a little bit tense and scared instead of just shooting and winning that fight like I could have. But it definitely let me know that I was ready. I needed to make a few more changes to my mental game more than anything. And I knew that my gym had prepared me at that point for anybody they were going to throw at me. I mean, she was a black belt, and I was only a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. And I felt like her ground game wasn't, you know, that much better than mine. Punching makes a big difference, and you've got to have that same self-control, whether you're a blue belt or black belt, in the cage to be able to use jiu-jitsu.
Most definitely. When you look back at that particular event, that particular fight, you know, I love the Springfield Fight Club for one thing. You know, you go back and there's been some great warriors in the sport. You got Michael Johnson, Zach Cummings, and I mean, you can just go on and on, you know, with the people and the world caliber style of fighters that are coming out of there. What is it about the instructors at the Springfield Fight Club that reassure you each and every time, especially going into fights against world caliber fighters?
That they're world caliber themselves. I mean, not like our coaches have went and won world championships or anything, but they know what they're talking about. They study world champions. We talk about every avenue of every fight. And the variety of coaches matters a lot, and their personal connection with us as fighters and as people. Like, I have Nathan, which you know is our striking coach, and he's taking that Zach Cummings striking classes, and he's feeding that to us. He's the striking coach, more or less, and he's one of those people that encourages you as you practice and stuff. Now, all the coaches are encouraging, but he's more of the just always happy, always proud of you regardless. Brett Welcome is more of the criticism coach is what I consider him, and that's more of how I learn. I like it when people are a little bit harder on me, yelling at me, telling me to get my butt up and go instead of, you know, oh, good job, you're doing great. I'd rather have somebody push me and tell me every single thing I'm doing wrong. And so that's what he does, except in the jiu-jitsu field of things. And Gabe Wook, who is the black belt and also a co-owner of the gym, he's also been helping me a lot lately, me and Garrett both, and working with us on our ground game, rolling with us and telling us what's wrong, what's right, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are. And so I work on my strengths in the gym as much as I possibly can because I know that that's where I'll excel in my fights, but I want to work on my weaknesses to where I can defend those. And so every single avenue they practice, and I make sure I get training partners that have strengths that I have and weaknesses that I have, and just practice with every single one of them instead of focusing on one thing. And I think that makes a big difference when it comes time to fight, that I'm not just a one-discipline, one-dimensional person or two-dimensional. I'm going in there with my tool belt full.
Yes. Now, you know, I've asked you this question before, but I've changed, you know, networks. I'm on a bigger network now, so I have a lot more listeners. So, you know, we're going to kind of take a step back here and there on certain aspects. With Al Wegman coming to the Springfield, you know, Fight Club, would you say that that allowed you to see a different aspect of the sport and change things up, being able to have somebody of her caliber to spar with and train with in the gym?
I'll honestly say that it helped me because she was smaller. She was one of the only people in my gym that was littler than me, and so that let me understand that my speed was up to where it needed to be and allowed me to see the little holes in my jiu-jitsu where I wasn't being tight enough, where I was used to rolling with bigger people and getting away with some stuff or not having, you know, the confidence. I have more confidence now that she's at the gym. I see her as a girl, and she's close to the weight of the girls that I'll be fighting, and I know what I can do and what I can't do by rolling with her. But I think the opposite way, I know I've definitely helped her, and her coming to Springfield Fight Club has helped her a lot. I'm super excited anytime any girls decide to join the gym, though, purely because of, you know, that was my first inspiration, self-defense, getting in there, knowing that as a girl I could defend myself. But not only that, being able to challenge myself against guys in the same kind of sport.
Very well said, my friend. You know, one thing I admire about you is your take on religion and family. It's admirable. You know, would you say that being able to wear your feelings and your thoughts towards religion on your sleeve, would you say that's allowed you to become that much more of a formidable opponent in the sport, knowing that you're transparent in all aspects?
100%. You know, people have things that they pick on people about or find their weaknesses or, you know, the skeletons in their background. And honestly, I don't have any. I'm young. I'm coming in here fresh. I'm coming in here with a good perspective on life, I feel like, and I have my family supporting me. And I go in there with God is what I think about the whole time. He's the one that I thank for my abilities. He's the one that I asked to help me with everything I'm going into those fights with. And when people ask me about it, I don't have any embarrassment, you know. There's nothing I'm trying to hide. So for me, it's just another confidence booster. It's another whole reason that I'm doing it and a way for me to be able to spread my own values to other people as I'm in there fighting as well.
Yeah, very well said. You know, because you look at your career and it's totally taken off. I mean, since the one lesson, I mean, if you look at your whole career, it's the only lesson you've ever been taught. You know, so when you look back and you look over the shoulder of Miranda Maverick and you look at the path that you've already started to create for yourself, you know, what would be your greatest thought or your greatest point of reflection on yourself to this date?
I'm not really sure when it happened exactly, but I know my dad kind of triggered it. You know, figuring out that I want this for my future was a big step. Taking that step into the pro world with Invicta, I was like, I know I can do this. I started out knowing I could do it. I was raised different than any girl I've ever met, and I know that I have that core strength that most don't have, and it's just different. I have a different perspective of how I am physically and mentally, and so I go in there as a pro thinking, you know, this is either my future or it's not. Every time I go into that cage, there's this girl trying to take away my dreams. It's not just fun or playing around anymore. It's money and it's my future and success. And my family's trying to build a farm, you know, we're trying to build a future. I'm trying to get to where I can live in a house and not temporary living for now. And in the meantime, these girls are coming in there basically standing in my way of it. And I want to just run through that and get to the top of this food chain as fast as I can.
Well, you're proving that, my friend. You know, it's you look at your, you know, anybody can go look. It's public knowledge. You go look at your record, and you see that you made your pro debut in Invicta, and you continue to strive with greatness in Invicta. So it shows the passion, the path that you're on. You know, what is it about this sport that has encapsulated Miranda Maverick to want to be the best of the best?
I mean, everything. I mean, I've done many sports throughout my life, and I've been good at pretty much all of them. I'm just was raised as an athletic person. But I found wrestling, and I found jiu-jitsu, and knew that that's where I'd be. I was doing good at it, and I thought, hey, I'll give this a try. And once I gave it a try and saw what it was like to raise my hand in that cage and have that pure competition. I mean, you don't have weapons. There's not throwing a basketball through a hoop. It's raw potential, raw people just going at each other, doing what you can, and talent. And it takes knowledge, too. It's not just, you know, all those stereotypes that people have of, oh, you got to be dumb to do it, or why would you ruin your pretty face? No, it takes talent to go in there and know what you're doing, be intelligent about it. And it's not just starting when you get in the cage. It's before that, playing that mental game. And for me, it's fun to do that. But not only fun, is I knew that I had a chance in it. So why not try and achieve that dream while I'm young and am able to?
Oh, most definitely. You know, the other day I did a show with a gentleman from Michigan by the name of Ronald Mann. He's an amputee and a practitioner. Now, he has actually won worlds, and then he went over to Abu Dhabi, and he won a world championship over there. He's getting ready to go back to Abu Dhabi now, but this weekend he was just in the Fuji tournament with J.W. Wright. And, you know, this man encapsulated me, because here you've got a gentleman with one leg, such as myself, and, you know, I find excuses not to do things, but this gentleman kind of put me in check on that. But you look at, he goes out there and competes against able-bodied people at this, you know, world level, and is still considered to be one of the top in his weight classes. Would you say that there's an aspect of jiu-jitsu that has also defined you as a warrior that you couldn't have got from anywhere else, Miranda?
100%. I've told you that self-defense was the first goal for me starting jiu-jitsu, and I was 16 years old when I finally made the decision of, Dad, I'm going to go to a gym. I want to learn this beyond just, you know, wrestling around in the living room. And so I went to a gym, and I realized that I was pretty good at it when I started going against adult men and stuff and was doing pretty good. And I started the sport and came to Springfield Fight Club, and, you know, all that's connected, the people, the sport, everything. And there's such a deep respect within it and such a closeness that you have to be with the people that you're doing it with, a mutual respect, I suppose you'd say. And I have respect for those people that train it and get good at anything in their lives, not just jiu-jitsu, but any passion that they have. And I've grown a passion for jiu-jitsu and noticed that it's made a difference in my life, my fitness, my ability to, you know, feel safe, and also like just in the sport and success in life, from money that I've been able to make through fighting and the memories that I've been able to make. And it's just made all the difference in my life. You know, going back and imagining different decisions I could have made, I would not have been as happy had I not done jiu-jitsu.
I feel you there. You know, I sometimes I like to ask questions that I learned from other guests. And, you know, I had Professor Jenna Bishop on my show. And One thing that she brought up was that there is not a lot of equality for the women sometimes in the BJJ world, but I've interviewed and had some of the best BJJ professors in the world on my show, and I've been in some of the best gyms in the world. And I think that she has a valid point, you know, that there's a lot of, you know, the older aspect of the sport that doesn't feel women should be, you know, in the BJJ world. Have you ever come across anything like that, or has it ever been a prevalent issue for you coming up from 16 to now, you know, getting that feeling that some practitioners feel women shouldn't be in the gym?
I've felt that so many times from the beginning to now, and I'll just start off with, I'm actually doing a research project this semester. I was working on it last semester in school too, and it's over the stereotypes in women's mixed martial arts, and I focus on jiu-jitsu and fighting the most. And I talk about how anywhere from any stereotypes, like women should be working in the kitchen, which is more of the old-fashioned traditional stance on women working, all the way down to, well, you're a guy, basically, if you're fighting, or you're automatically a lesbian, or you must be tattooed up and have your hair dyed. And I realize that I don't fit hardly any of those stereotypes, and that's why I want to focus on that. People have so much judgment that they put on female athletes in general, and jiu-jitsu is even more so, because we're in close contact with guys, we're rolling with them, we're competing with them, and people take it badly. And it seems to be women that do that the most. You know, guys, I have tons of guys in the gym and stuff, they'll roll with me comfortably, and it kind of frustrates me when they try to separate the women within gyms. Like, they say, oh, you can go roll with that other girl over there. Like, don't go with the guys. And to me, that's the whole point. Like, number one, if self-defense is the goal for girls in jiu-jitsu, why would they go against somebody their own size and gender? Like, that's not the realism of it. That's not the point of jiu-jitsu. It's so you can beat people bigger than you, stronger than you, with skill. And throughout fighting and everything, like, my coaches in Springfield Fight Club, all of them have been super supportive. I've never really had any problem unless they were people visiting the gym. But when I went on my trip to New York and stuff, there were certain gyms that were like that. They would try to separate the girls, and I was like, this girl started a week ago. I'm not at this skill level right now. I'd rather spar with somebody who's, you know, a fighter or something, or has been in jiu-jitsu and is a purple belt or higher. And so for me, it's just, it's disappointing that there's still even a stereotype there. But I realize that as you keep growing in the sport, and as women's MMA becomes more prevalent and women's jiu-jitsu, it's going to slowly disappear. It's just all more of a new sport than most others, and so I think it's worse than most others in general.
You know, I was quite amazed, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, Jenna Bishop has world acclaim for her jiu-jitsu, and to have her speak of the same issues in the BJJ world, it just kind of, it threw me off, because, you know, like I said, I've been in a lot of places, and it hasn't been that prevalent, but, you know, I hear from others that it is, and so you might want to connect with her on some levels on your work that you're doing, because I think she'd be a great, you know, attribution to your article. You know, you look at your career, Miranda, it's been tremendous. You look at the training that you received over there at the Springfield Fight Club, it's been tremendous. You know, what is it about Miranda Maverick? If you had to surmise who you are for my listeners and for your fans, what they could expect in the future from Miranda Maverick, being that you are a truly dominating pro at this point in time in the sport, what would that message be?
For me, I'm always focused on education, on growing, on learning, and it's the same way in fighting. I know that I've been more timid in the cage than I could have. I know that I could have had more dominating finishes. And I want to continue that. I want to keep moving up the Invicta ladder and then hopefully to the UFC very soon by just going in there and smashing every opponent that they have in front of me and get to the top as fast as I can, not just for myself and the money, but, you know, for me, I'm representing people. I'm representing my religion. I'm representing God. I'm representing everything I stand for when I go into that cage. And so for me, as I keep going forward, I want everybody to know that they can keep seeing me be more aggressive, be more progressive in my jiu-jitsu, my stand-up, all of it's improving every single day, and I want to continue that. And one thing I focused on this year, in the last few months, especially while I've been out a little bit, was nutrition. I'm trying to get my nutrition under control, my base cardio and fitness level better than it's ever been. And not only that, but sitting out a little bit has actually taught me more, you know, paying attention a little bit more to details and seeing how my coaches are doing certain things. And even coaching myself helps a lot in that learning process. And so throughout MMA, like, I want to make sure I get to the top as fast as I can. I want people to look at me and me be the youngest champion in the world. And that's my goal at the end of it.
What was that? I didn't hear the end there, Miranda.
I said my main goal is to be the youngest champion in the world in the UFC and in Invicta.
You know, and I honestly can see that happening. I mean, you look at your performance, you know, choke, arm lock, you know, choke, unanimous decision. You know, but the unanimous decision was against, like we already talked about, a black belt who was already famous in her own right for what she's done in the sport. So, I mean, you look at the age of you, the experience, it's only getting bigger, and you're only becoming more of a dominant warrior. What did it mean for you to initially step up in that Invicta cage, knowing that it was your pro debut, it was an opportunity of a lifetime, knowing that also that Invicta is truly the platform to the UFC?
It meant everything. It meant my dream was finally coming true. It meant I needed to take my whole career goals into more of a realistic perspective and get in that cage and win. That was my main goal. I was going to go in there, be as mean as I had to be, and get that fight finished as fast as I could, to not only impress Shannon and all the people in Invicta, but impress my fans, to get a better fight the next time and keep moving my way up. Like I said, my goal is to get there as fast as I can. I don't want to, you know, unanimous decision. I want to stand out and do the best I can.
I truly, even though it was a unanimous decision, I truly believe you did that night, as you know. I still got to get you your pictures. It's just been a hell of a crazy ride in my life. I had back surgery. I've had a multitude of issues. I'm kind of getting back to the sport myself. You know, I look at, you know, because I've shot all three of your fights in Invicta, so I look at the growth of Miranda Maverick, and it's tremendous. You know, when you look at everything that you're doing in life, it's on the up and up. Would you say that this trip added more knowledge that the fans and the fighters are yet to see from Miranda Maverick, being that you did kind of a tour to learn from other gyms and other places? Were you able to, you know, ascertain the knowledge that you were looking for?
Yes. I would say, honestly, that the key thing in the trips I took was confidence. I went with Elle. As you know, I think you actually talked to us while we were on our trip that one time. And
yeah.
I was on my way to New York. We went through several different states with phenomenal gyms, like world-class gyms. Met Gordon Ryan, Gary Tonin, Marcelo Garcia, like all of them. It was just awesome. And the thing that stuck in my mind the most as I went through there is, wow, I'm like keeping up with these people. I'm still doing good against girl purple belts, girl brown belts, and it let me know that even though we're in Springfield, Missouri, you know, a place that people wouldn't think had the best fighters and best gyms, our skill level is up to par, if not better. And that made me really confident in myself. I got to practice with some of the other women MMA fighters across the world. I got to practice with Kalini, and she's been a title contender a couple times. And I did really good, and I was like, okay, well, this is something I needed, was to get my head on straight and say, yeah, I can do it. I'm at that level now. I need to realize that and get moving. And then my trip to L.A., you know, same thing. I was by myself, and I went out there and got to train at a bunch of different gyms, had a couple private lessons with black belt jiu-jitsu people, and it was awesome. The professors were absolutely awesome and were teaching me things that I hadn't learned before, and the littlest changes make such a big difference. And that's a detail that you can even think of in life. You know, the little things matter, not just the big things. You got to focus on those before you can get better at the big stuff.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, when you were out there in LA, you actually even did a girl commercial. How did it feel for you to be, you know, highlighted or put at a focal point and, you know, for the sponsor in your career?
it felt unreal, you know. 2 years ago, I would have never, ever imagined me being on TV or being in a commercial or, you know, being anywhere that people would consider semi-famous, and that's where I'm at right now. I try to act humble and be aware that I don't want to be that person who takes advantage of anything, and I don't want that to happen no matter what level I'm on. But going out there to L.A. was a kind of a game changer for me to see that, wow, I'm really becoming something. I'm finally having that success that I've always dreamed of, that I've been working for this whole time. And it was fun to be out there and see a bunch of these girls who are trying to be confident and who are being inspired, and people talk to me and, oh, I know you. Like, I've watched your fights. Like, you're amazing. And it just makes me feel good and know that I'm accomplishing the dreams that I set out to have in the first place. To inspire others to make sure that I make some kind of difference on this world.
Well, you truly have, and you even have in my life, and that's one reason why I keep having you back on the show. You know, one aspect of you that I truly like, and I'm probably going to piss a lot of people off in the sport with saying this, but I've never been a fan of women that have to pose half-nude or do these seductive, you know, shots. They're fighters. You know, if you want to be respected as a fighter, then be who you are. Be a fighter. Don't go out there and do a half a playgirl spread to get people to notice you. Let your ability do that. Then you turn to Miranda Maverick, you know, who's Christian, who believes in God and walks a straight path and truly helps others. You know, to me, you're the epitome of what the sport is on the women's side, because you know, you don't have to do those things. Do you feel that those other women, and you don't have to answer this, Miranda, but do you feel that with women doing that, it kind of sets the sport back a little and doesn't let the true warriors of the sport truly shine?
I'd love to answer that, actually. And I think a lot of it comes from different perspectives. I'll be honest, a lot of girls don't think that there's anything wrong with it, and they see themselves as just being who they are. So I don't know if I'm a complete representation of the whole sport, but that's another one of those stereotypes. Like, a lot of people say that the women in MMA need to be sexualized before they get noticed. You see some girls achieving more in terms of getting contracts and things just because of their beauty or just because of how much they decide to expose themselves. And one thing I will never part with is my modesty in that aspect. You know, I have a dad, and I try to think of things from his perspective. Would he want me to do that? No, he wouldn't, and I wouldn't feel comfortable. So far, I haven't even so much as worn a sports bra in the cage, which if I do, I'm going to make sure I'm pretty protected. But I see no reason that sports should have to be that way. Women shouldn't have to be sexualized in every single thing that we do. Show our talent and individualism first. If you want to be proud of your body and fitness, that's fine, but there's no reason to feel pressured to do anything more than that. And it's been an important thing for me to let other people know that, too. I don't want to do those kind of things, and I believe in God, and I don't think it's the right thing to do. So I make sure that I dress modest, I try to act modest, and I hope other women start realizing that, too.
You know, so do I, because, you know, I'll go and not just my work, but I see other work that gets posted. And, you know, if it's truly about the female warrior, as I've been a person that has taken on the plight many years ago to have the W removed from MMA, because I don't think it theoretically needs to be there. I think anybody that steps in a cage is a warrior nonetheless, whether they're a man or a woman. But it's like you see this trend. You see, you know, if you post a really good picture of a female in combat, yeah, it'll get, you know, a lot of attention. But then if you post this picture of a woman half naked, next thing you know, you got 14, 15, 20,000 likes on it. And to me, it just it discredits the sport. It takes away from, you know, what I look at as the sport. But you know, times are changing. It's, you know, people say, Don, get out of the old school era and get with a new era. But, you know, I'm like you. I have values, and I believe that certain aspects of the sport don't need to be there, and that's just one of them with me. You know, moving forward in life, you speak of your father. I know you have a tremendous relationship with your father and family. What does it mean to, you know, for Miranda Maverick to have the support not only of her gym and the people in life, but to have the support of your family?
It's everything to me. As you know, and you've been there seeing, I think you've shot every single one of my fights except for maybe one or two as an amateur. My dad's always in my corner, and I honestly don't know if I could fight the same without him in my corner. He's one of the reasons that I not only started the sport, but that I'm in the sport. I realized that if he hadn't been okay with it, I wouldn't be okay with it. And he's been the one pushing me mentally. He's the one who physically made me who I am before I came to the gym. Like, it's not just the gym and MMA that's made me strong or that's given me athleticism. It's how he raised me and, you know, more corporal punishment involved. And it's funny that some people don't like how kids are disciplined and stuff, but they like how the kid turns out. And my dad was seen as a stricter parent when I was a child, but it has definitely pushed me to succeed, and I love him to death. He's my favorite person in the whole world, and for me, if he wasn't there, if he wasn't involved, I would see no benefit in doing MMA if he wasn't, you know, pushing for it. And he supported me throughout this whole journey. He's absolutely ecstatic that I've made it to where I am, and he's always telling me, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I go ahead and keep doing MMA or not. I've made all these memories and stuff to just make my life the way I want it to be and be happy and keep moving forward.
That's definitely, and those are very wise words from your father. You know, I know you've been out for a minute. I know you have an injury that you're getting over. How long will it be before we can expect to see you back in the cage, my friend?
I'm hoping July will be my next fight. I have to keep seeing how rehab's coming with this injury and everything, but so far I'm recovering much quicker than most people with it, and I'm already getting back a little bit into the gym and training and been coaching the whole time. So I don't see myself being set back too much. It's just going to be a mental fight to be confident with it and move forward. So as soon as I hear word that I'm cleared and that I can start practicing and fighting again, I'll let everybody know, and I'll be back to fighting as soon as I possibly can and hopefully get more fights more often as well than this past year.
Yeah, I think you will. I think the future is very bright for you. You know, Miranda, I know you're a tremendous person in all aspects of life. So what I'm going to do, and I do this for, you know, a few people here and there, I'm going to turn the mic over to you and everybody that has truly helped you, you know, along this way, along this journey, whether it be family, gym members, certain people in life. I know sometimes in life we always don't get the opportunity to thank people that have truly got us where we're at in life. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a statement to those who have truly helped you to where you're at in life. The floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you. To start off with, always, as we talked about, I'm a Christian, and thank you to the Lord for giving me the ability to be able to do this and to keep moving forward and having the support that I do around me. My dad and my whole family have been supportive of me every step of the way. They're the reason that I'm still here doing this. They're the reason that I am who I am. To all my sponsors who have made this a lot easier journey for me, thank you so much. It's been absolutely phenomenal to have you by my side this whole way. It ranges anywhere from my friends and family that have helped me through that to Victory Beef and Persuasive Apparel. Top Mount Apparel, girl clothing has made a huge difference in my life too. You know, with the LA trip and the commercial and everything, they changed my life and perspective of how I looked at myself in that way. And thank you to everybody at Springfield Fight Club. I mean, Nathan's made a huge difference in my life as a whole and my skill set. Zach bringing his striking in, Gabe and Brett helping me with my jiu-jitsu, and then my training partners. You know, tons of them have stuck around late at night or came in really early in the morning just to help me with personal problems that I had in my fighting or to get ready for a certain fight, help me with my cardio, set in the sauna with me for weight cutting. I appreciate all those people, and I'm pretty much best friends with some of my training partners at the gym, and it's definitely changed my life. And thank you, Don, for having me on here. I appreciate it.
Oh, you know, most definitely. Before we let you go, though, my friend, I truly want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You come on my show each and every time I ask, and what you show in the sport is tremendous. And I like sharing who you are because, really, you're a true warrior. You know, like we spoke about, you don't have to go out and pose half naked to get people to notice who you are or respect you. You're doing so much in and outside of the cage. How can I not have you on my show? You know, I hope 2018 is a tremendous year for you and Springfield Fight Club. As you said, you know, a lot of people don't think of some of the best fighters in the world when you think of Springfield, but you're proof that, you know, they're coming, and 2018 is going to be the year of Springfield Fight Club. I look forward to seeing you back in the cage as soon as possible. With that being said, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. I know you already shouted out your sponsor, so if you want to go ahead and give your social media sites, or if there's just anything else that you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
All right. Just so everybody knows, it's Miranda Fear the Maverick. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's basically all underneath the same handle. Thank you for following me, and make sure you guys follow Springfield Fight Club as well. There's a lot of up-and-comers coming into this. We have Elle Wagman, who's one of the other girls from the gym that's coming into fighting. We have Garrett Armfield, who's getting ready to turn pro pretty soon, and we have HD Esley, who's actually making his pro debut in a couple months. So everybody keep an eye on them. We're coming. Everybody from Springfield Fight Club is doing an awesome job in moving forward.
Yes, they are, and look forward to, I believe, Wednesday. I'll have Garrett Armfield on the show, as I've reached out to his coach, and we're going to make that happen. And once again, Miranda, thank you so much for coming on my show. I wish you the best, my friend, in recovering. You truly are what defines the sport, and I appreciate you, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Don. You have a great night. Stay warm out there.
You too. I'm trying. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Miranda Fear the Maverick. Truly a tremendous young lady in all aspects of her walk in life. She truly has proven time and time again that she deserves to be where she's at. It's an awesome honor to hear that Invicta has signed her to another 6 fights, as she truly never brings a dull moment to the cage. You know, her last outing, she went against Gabby Romero, a world-renowned black belt, and, you know, she came out with a unanimous decision, but I think it was a little bit better of a fight than that, you know. I think she truly proved that she was here to stay. On that note, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll say our thank yous, and then we'll be gone.
What up, it's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out, though. Listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout-out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome back. I just want to come back and give a big, huge thank you to all of my sponsors, which I re-signed with again this year. Thank you, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. If it wasn't for you, this show wouldn't be happening, nor would it have happened the last year. You've truly had my back since day one. I think we're going into, 15 years together, and it's truly been a tremendous honor on my behalf. To the 86ers.net, Alfred and Freddie, truly tremendous people in life. I'm honored to be with you as well. The United Way Merced, if you can't give to the United Way Merced, then give to the United Way wherever you're at. The United Way is changing lives, and I truly am honored that they decided to back the show. Affliction Clothing, you know, go out and give them a like, give them some love. You know, without all these people, I wouldn't exist in this sport, and this show wouldn't exist at all. You know, I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. You have a good day, and God bless. Here's a little bit old school on the way out.
Party people, party people, can you get funky? So silent folks, can you get funky? The Zulu Nation, can you get funky? Yeah, just hit me.